going to continue where we left off in Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 1. And it's talking about Pentecost, and I know we're a week early, but we'll spend a few weeks in this chapter, so it's okay. Next week is Pentecost Sunday. And so we're going to read through this starting at Acts chapter 2, verse 1. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. So, Pentecost. What is it? Anybody know? Okay. Do you know what Pentecost means? 50. You know, a lot of people get weirded out by that word. They have a lot of negative connotations about what does that mean? And Pentecost was actually a feast. Okay. It was a feast that came 50 days after the Passover. And it was a celebration of, in one side, it was an agricultural celebration. It was a celebration of the first fruits. It was basically giving thanks for the harvest that was about to come. It was a beautiful time of year. People loved to gather and celebrate. And it was also a celebration of the law being given to Moses. And so there were three main feasts that Jews, there's many feasts that they celebrate, but there was kind of three major ones. There's the Passover, okay, you've probably heard of that, right? The Pentecost, you've heard of that, and the Feast of Tabernacles. And of course, that one hasn't been fulfilled. He's coming to meet us when the trumpet sounds, right? And so the Passover had happened 50 days before, and so in this situation, Jesus had just fulfilled the Passover. He was the Passover lamb, right? And it's amazing. I'll admit, I haven't studied the feasts that much. And as I was reading this week, I thought I need to study them more. It's just there's a lot of interesting things in there that I just never realized before. Did you know that? I'm sure you knew that as Passover that they would kill a lamb. Okay, they would. I know it's not PG-13, but they would slice its throat to drain the blood out as a sacrifice for the people's sin. Okay, and on Passover they would do that at 9 a.m. Did you know what time Jesus was hung on the cross? 9 a.m. And so they say that all of this lines up, which is incredible. So 9 a.m. Jesus was hung on the cross is what they say. So he was the ultimate perfect lamb. Okay, that was killed for us. All sin, right? Sin of the past, sin of the future. His sacrifice, and he was the only person that ever could be that sacrifice because he was pure and holy and didn't have any sin in him. Amen? But he had to be fully man too to be able to do that. And so he came as a sacrifice for us. And at 3 o'clock, they would usually take that lamb that they had prepared and prepare it to put in the oven. And guess what time Jesus was taken off the cross and put into the tomb? 3 o'clock. And then, from what I've read, a father in a home would take unleavened bread and basically have it hidden somewhere. Probably so if your kids are like my kids, they wouldn't get into it and eat it. And he'd pull it out the morning after the Sabbath, and they would basically wave it. It was part of, you know, giving thanks for the first fruit, giving thanks for the harvest that was to come. And so it's interesting that as the father, the morning after, as the father would have been waving the bread, basically giving thanks to the Lord as the part of that feast, that was the same time Jesus would have been coming into the tomb the day after the Sabbath, which is really interesting. So the bread was coming alive, was coming out as the first fruit. Does that make sense? Which is interesting. And so it's amazing how when you study the Bible, God knows how to line everything up, like just perfectly. And he, you know, even in the midst of all the chaos, God knows how to work things and cause things to work for his good and for his plan. Leviticus 23. So we have Pentecost. And It says this back in Leviticus, okay? From the day after the Sabbath, the day you bring the bundle of grain to be lifted up as a special offering, count off 7 full weeks. So what's 7 times 7? 49. Keep counting until the day after the 7th Sabbath, okay? So 50 days later, then present an offering of new grain to the Lord. So this is what they were commanded to do for Pentecost. And these, you know, God happened to know exactly what day Jesus would be crucified and exactly what day how Pentecost would line up. So the Holy Spirit came 50 days later on Pentecost. I was reading in one of the commentaries I have, and it says this, I thought it was interesting. It says, these festivals awakened echoes of the great story that dominated the long memories of the Jewish people. The story of the Exodus from Egypt, when God fulfilled his promise to Abraham by rescuing his people. Passover was a time when the lambs were sacrificed and the Israelites were saved from the avenging angel who slew the firstborn of the Egyptians. Off went the Israelites that very night and passed through the Red Sea into the Sinai desert. Then 50 days after Passover, they came to Mount Sinai where Moses received the law. Pentecost, the 50th day, isn't just about the first fruits, but or the sheaf which says the harvest has begun, but it's about God giving to his redeemed people the way of life by which they must now carry on his purposes. And so it's a celebration of the Holy Spirit coming to birth in us the ability to go and build his church. Amen? And then it goes on to say, Luke, there is kind of an easy assumption that people would know about the first fruits, okay? In their culture, they knew what this signified. They understood the timing. It would have made a lot more sense in a lot of ways to them. He can more or less take it for granted that readers will see this story of the apostles being filled with the Spirit and then going on to bear powerful witness to Jesus and his resurrection and to win converts from the very first day as a sign that this is like a sheaf which is offered to God as the sign of the great harvest to come. And it is interesting that the Holy Spirit came and as part of the first fruits, the harvest of Pentecost, 3,000 people got saved that day. When we look closely at the way Jews told the story of the giving of the law on Mount Sinai, you can also see parallels. And I find this really interesting too. When the Israelites arrived at Mount Sinai, Moses went up the mountain. There was a lot of noise. He ascended up the mountain. Like, there's a whole lot of parallels. He went up the mountain. He came back down with the law written on the tablets, right? Here at Pentecost, we have Jesus who is ascended into heaven. The Holy Spirit comes to put the law on our hearts. You guys with me? You okay? All right. There's a whole lot of parallel happening in this story that I just had never seen before. And we'll get to more of it in a minute. But anyway, later in verse 1, it says they were in one accord. Go back to Acts chapter 2, verse 1. They're meeting together in one place. In the New King James, it says they're meeting in one accord. And that I look up that word, that homothumadon. I can't pronounce it properly, probably. But it means that they're unanimous, having group unity, having one mind and purpose. And we talked about last week at the end of Acts chapter 1, how they were meeting for 10 days, gathered together, praying, seeking God, going to the temple, praising him. And it's, again, this symbol of the power of unity and how in this time, the Holy Spirit brought unity, not division. Even though many people from different walks were coming together, it was a time where they gathered together to seek him. And when we seek the Lord together, it brings unity. Amen? Verse 2. So, suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Now, we're going to see there's basically three signs of the Holy Spirit coming. There's the sound, there's the fire, and also the language that comes, all right? And in Saskatchewan, where we live, we know the sound of a wind, don't we? We know what it sounds when the wind blows. I don't know how many times I've woken up and been like, I think that's my barbecue going across the deck. And, you know, there's a howl, there is a roar. And it's interesting that, you know, a wind blows where it pleases, doesn't it? You can't control it, you can't tame it, you can't, you know, decide where it's going to blow. You can't manipulate it. It just blows. And there is a sound. And it's, I think this is a reference where it's showing us the power of the Holy Spirit has showed up. So it filled the house where they were sitting. And, you know, the untamable forces that are mentioned here of wind and fire, they speak of his power. They speak of his glory coming. And when you go to verse 3, tongues, what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. Now, fire is not something new to the Israelites, okay? They had seen, there's many examples of God showing up with fire in the Old Testament. We won't go into all of them, but remember Moses in the burning bush. God spoke to him out of a fire, okay? There's a time with Elijah in 1 Kings, I think it's 18, where you have all the Baal prophets and worshipers, where Elijah puts a sacrifice and God shows up and burns it all up, even the water and everything. Remember that? And so they're used to God showing up as a fire. They understood, you know, God led them with a pillar of fire and a cloud in the desert. And so this made sense to them in a way that maybe it doesn't to us. But is the sign of the Holy Spirit showing up, the sign of the power of God coming. And it's interesting too, like many people think of fire, you know, when you take a piece of fire, and I take a piece of fire, and you take a piece of fire out of, a campfire in front of us, the fire weakens, doesn't it? But in this case, it's not saying that. It's saying that the fire is shared by all. Everyone who is there received a tongue of fire on their head. Or like a tongue of fire. We don't really know exactly what it looked like, right? Brian Simmons, he mentions this in his notes, and I like it. It says, this was the pillar of fire that led Israel from bondage into the promised land. The same pillar of fire manifested here to initiate a new beginning from dead religious structures into the powerful life of the Spirit. I think that's really true. Each believer received an overpowering flame of fire, signified by the shaft of light that engulfed them. It was as though each one received his own personal pillar of fire that would empower him and lead him throughout his life. This was the promise Jesus gave to his disciples of the one like me in John 14:26, or who would be sent by the Father and never leave them. Today, every believer is indwelt by the Spirit of Christ. This was the birthday of the Church of Jesus Christ. And it's true, this fire was signifying the old religious structures being done away with and new life in God. New life in the Spirit. All right, verse 4. Everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. So was it just some people? Was it just the really religious, the really spiritual, the ones who could answer a certain quiz? It was those who were gathered, hungry, and desperate for God. All of them that were there. They were the ones that stuck it out and said, we want him. I'm not going to get into tongues too much today. We'll spend a Sunday on just talking about it, because I know there's a lot of questions often that come up. But one of the things that's really important about this moment is there's a hermeneutical law. When we study the Bible and study how to interpret it properly, it's called hermeneutics. You ever heard that term? And so there's a hermeneutical law of the law of first mention, which means that when the Bible mentions something for the first time, you should look at following events through the lens like that. So when we see the Holy Spirit coming on people like this, it's a sign to us to interpret how he will move and act in similar ways. So when we see people being filled and speaking in tongues, that's where as Pentecostals, we talk about how when someone's baptized in the Holy Spirit, the initial evidence is speaking in tongues. Okay? It's because this is how the Bible shows us happening as a pattern. Does that make sense? We'll get into that more of that another day. But tongues is another thing that tends to freak people out a little bit. Pentecost, tongues. People are like, okay, it's going to be weird, right? But literally Pentecost means 50, and tongues comes from the word glossa, which means language. God gave them a language, okay? And that language, sometimes that language is a heavenly language that nobody understands. Sometimes it's an earthly language that you just didn't know before. And it's a language that someone else might understand. And so in this case, we'll see that there were many people there that understood the language that they were given. They were given an earthly language that they didn't know the moment before, but the Holy Spirit came on them and now they knew it. Does that make sense? Okay. So people heard the wonderful works of God. They heard in their own language people beginning to glorify God as they spoke in tongues. And, you know, basically if this happened in the room today, you know, you would see fire on someone else, and then you'd see fire on someone else, and you would think, well, that's pretty cool. And you might look up and wonder what's on you, and you may not be able to see it, but you'd understand that we receive it by faith. We receive from the Lord by faith. So when I receive Jesus into my life, I engage my faith. When I receive, when I ask Him to, the Holy Spirit to fill me, I receive it by faith. When I ask Him to give me gifts, I receive it by faith, right? And what we see in other people, what we would see God touching other people, we would say, God, thank you that you're doing that, and I believe you want to touch me too. Amen? And that's, I believe, as simple as what was going on, is that the Holy Spirit showed up, touched people, and began to change them, and began to empower them, and one of the signs was tongues. A new language, all right? It wasn't just for the 12 people, or the 12 apostles, or the 120 that were gathered there. It was for everyone. And it's a promise for everyone who follows Jesus. The Holy Spirit, Jesus went so the Holy Spirit could come and fill us. Are we okay? There's two words for filled that are used here. In verse 2, it talks about an inward filling. In verse 4 here, it talks about an outward filling, or like a furnishing or an equipping. And so we need both to be filled inwardly and also outwardly, so that we can go and do the works that God has called us to do, to make disciples of nations. Amen? We need to be filled. Up to this point, you see in the Bible that the Holy Spirit would come on people and give them special abilities or even messages. He went on, you know, early on in the Old Testament, you saw Him come on people who were artisans, who built and crafted things with gold, and that was the work of the Holy Spirit. You also see the Holy Spirit coming on people and giving them messages from God. But then the Holy Spirit would lift. Right now, Jesus has come, He's paved the way, so that those who walk in covenant with Him, the Holy Spirit can come and dwell in all of us. And that's what's happening here. The Holy Spirit came to stay in us. Does that make sense? Which is really, really important. The Holy Spirit is a gift for everyone. And we see here, it doesn't matter male or female, slave or free, doesn't matter your background, the Holy Spirit came as a gift for us. So if we jump to verse 5. At that time there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. Now, when it says every nation, it doesn't mean like Aboriginals from Australia and Japan, but they're talking about the world that they knew at that time right there in the Middle East. But there are many listed here. And when they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. Okay? So it was enough of a ruckus that people came to hear. People came because they heard a lot of people getting excited and going, what is going on? Can you imagine that today? You know, you think about our country, even our town, and the amount of nations represented, even in our little community here. And when the Holy, you know, if the Holy Spirit showed up in a sense and began to move on us, and people caused such a stir in town that people were like, "What is going on over there? I have to go check it out." Can you imagine? I've heard of places when they've had revivals in the past where people would actually see smoke coming from buildings and phone the fire department thinking that the church was on fire, and it was just a sign of God. People would actually come. There's stories of, what was it, Pensacola in Brownsville, where people would be driving by and just be led to stop and go into the church. They didn't understand why, and they would get saved. They would be so convicted by the Holy Spirit that something was going on, they'd walk in and check it out. They'd be like, what is going on in here? And God would get a hold of their life in that moment. And I pray for those kind of moments today in us and in our community, in our church. Amen? Amen? What happened at Pentecost? There was people from every nation. There was confusion. They hear their own language. It sounds, there's a whole bunch of parallels here with Genesis 11 with the Tower of Babel, which is interesting too. In the story of the Tower of Babel, when they came, they spoke one language, they gathered in rebellion, okay? And it says that nothing would be, they'd be unstoppable because of their unity. Here at Pentecost, they're gathered in submission, okay? The total opposite. At the Tower of Babel, they gathered in pride. At Pentecost, they gathered in humility. The Tower of Babel, they had one language, and God came and confused them and scattered them to every nation. And here at Pentecost, it speaks of the Holy Spirit coming, and as people from every nation gathered to hear the goodness of God being spoken to them, they were in one place. On Pentecost, they came together and God restored a pure language in them. Pentecost is the blessed reversal of the cursed judgment of the Tower of Babel. Every nation, tribe, and tongue, every ethnic group praising God. And it started at Pentecost, and it's what it's going to be like in heaven. And that's the blessing of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit is there, there's unity. He brings all of us together. He brings people together. When the law was given, remember Pentecost was a celebration of the law being given. When the law was given, there was loud noise. There was the cloud that descended. The Israelites were led by the pillar of fire in the cloud, and there was the fire, the tablet that was given to Moses and on this written on the stone. And that day later, 3,000 people died. On Pentecost, there was again a loud noise. There was the cloud, which was the Holy Spirit who descended, and God wrote his law on people's hearts, and 3,000 people were saved. God gave the law, and people couldn't keep it. Literally, Moses is up on the mountain getting the law, and people are committing adultery down below. When the Holy Spirit comes, and I think this is really important for us to know, the Holy Spirit comes to fill us, to equip us, and to enable us to walk the life that God has called us to. You see, Jesus died on the cross to make us righteous, to give us right standing with God. We understand that, right? Jesus died so that we could be the righteousness of God. We okay? That makes sense? That's really important. Because of him dying, because of his blood, you and I are made right with God. There's no other way but through him, okay? The Holy Spirit enables us to live righteously. The Holy Spirit is the one who he convicts us, he guides us, he leads us, he prompts us, he nudges us, but it's him who does the work in us to help us to actually live the walk that God has called us to. We can't do that without the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't think it's possible. Okay, verse 7. They were completely amazed. How can this be? They exclaimed. These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Here we are. I'm probably going to butcher a few names here, but Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the areas of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. And we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done. So they knew that these people were not supposed to know their language. And yet there is someone in front of them who is saying, God is good. God is amazing. This is what he's done. This is what he's done for you. And proclaiming the goodness of God in their own language. This is like the first evangelistic crusade ever. And it was done. It was interpreted for them in their own language. You see, people from all over were gathered because of the feast. And I remember when we were in Brazil a few years ago, we met an interpreter there who, when they got saved and then baptized in the Holy Spirit, God gave them the English language, which is interesting. And their family was there, and they told us she had literally never had any education, never been taught a word of English in her life, okay? And she was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and she not only was given the English language as part of her heavenly language, she actually understood it. So now, ever since then, she has been an interpreter for ministry guests that come down to Brazil. So when ministry teams come, that's what she does. And I said to her, like, you seriously have never been taught, like, you went in school, anything? She's like, no. She said she not only knew, like, she went from not knowing a word to knowing the English language and actually understanding it. And she said, that's what the Holy Spirit did in me, she said. I think it's incredible. And there's many stories. When you read about missionaries and stuff, there's many, 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 many stories of this where people showed up. They didn't. Some people went to like China, to Africa, and they didn't know a word. They showed up on a boat, and they knew English, and they didn't know how to communicate. And as they opened their mouth and began to pray in tongues, people knew what they were saying. And it's documented over and over and over again. But I think that's what the Holy Spirit can do in us. We're not limited by our physical flesh when God is with us. We okay? Okay, verse 12. They stood there amazed and perplexed. What can this mean? And they asked each other. But the others in the crowd ridiculed them and saying, they're just drunk. That's all. And I was thinking about this. You know, we see this in the Bible, and I'm thankful to see stuff like this in the Bible because it helps us today. But many times we see in Acts with the apostles, we see scoffing, we see opposition, we see sneering at what they say, at what they do. And even in the midst of them having success, we see people resisting them. And again in the church, in the church in general today, even, we see people resisting. We see people saying, as Christians, you're just talking nonsense, right? And I'm thankful that I see it here, because then it shows me that it's okay. You know, what's also scary to me, I guess, is that we also have Christians today, and I think this is especially a North American thing. We have Christians today that are really go out of their way to never, ever, ever, ever be accused of having something like this happen in their life. You know, I will be the most proper, perfect person, and I hope that you would never think that God is doing something in me, because I don't want to seem weird or different or out there. We try to hide what God has shown us. Anybody ever felt like... Have you ever been worried about what people think about you loving Jesus? I honestly think that's more of a North American thing than, because you go other places and they just don't care. They just don't. They will go up to other people everywhere and be like, I love God. Do you know why? You should too. Partly it's our culture. Partly it's what we're taught, how we learn. But here's a stinger of a thought. Have our churches, have us in our families or our church, do we have the life of the Spirit in us? Do we have the life of God in us that people go, there's something different about you? What is it? Do they see that God is at work and they question, why is it that you are the way you are? Because if God is at work in us, we should be changing. If our heart is surrendered to Him, our life should be being transformed. Right? We can't stay the same as we were before we knew Him. Does it mean that we're perfect? No. Does it mean we don't make mistakes? Of course not. But we are called to make a difference, and we're called to change, we're called to transform and become more like Jesus. To be a Christian, be a follower of Jesus, means that we never, ever lose sight of the call to share the good news. We can't quench the life that's in us. We can't try and, you know, Jesus used the illustration of, you don't put a basket over a light, right? You don't hide a light. You put it on top of a hill for all to see. Do people know that you love God? I think many, many times, and please don't take this as condemnation against you, or like, I want this to be a challenge to us when I think about this. How many times, and I've been guilty of this, okay? Me too. Where we receive Jesus and we go, this is awesome. This is amazing. This is wonderful. And then we just kind of lock that away and go on with life. But we don't necessarily... We lose that concern that God has for us to go to our neighbor and say, do you know what? I just found the best news in the world. And this is what Jesus has done in my life. I have to tell you because it's so amazing. And we lose that. And we have to guard against that, because as important as us getting saved, and it's not bad that we get excited, it's not bad that we are loving Jesus. That's all obviously important. But we also have to not lose sight of the fact that we need to share that good news with other people. That's what we're called to do. And the Holy Spirit, many people have taken the gifts and all kinds of different things and tried to make them something they're not. Literally, the Holy Spirit came to equip us to go and change the world with the good news of the gospel. The Holy Spirit comes to empower us with boldness and power to be a sign and a witness to the world that there is a spiritual kingdom that they're invited to. That's our job. And that's simply what it is. It doesn't make you more spiritual because you have a gift that someone else might not. It doesn't make you more special in God's eyes. Literally, we're just called to go and make a difference and use what we have. And you know what's amazing is that the Holy Spirit, you know, people, again, this hasn't changed since Israel. It's something in our nature that we want to be able to control everything, right? We like things to be black and white and know exactly, and we can, you know, if we had our way, we'd tell God, this is how you will move in me, and this is how you will use me, and this is how you will speak to me. And again, the Holy Spirit comes like a wind, like a raging fire that you cannot control, and that really makes some people uncomfortable. We don't like that, and we don't want to go there, because that means that you and I have to submit. We don't like doing that. That's not natural for many of us. God, it's got to be my way. Oh, you want me? No. I want to be perfect. I want to stand and be respectful. And sometimes when the Holy Spirit comes on people like that, he throws them around. It makes them laugh like crazy. And people go, oh. And it's okay. That stuff that happens, whatever it might be, I've used the example before. It's like when you lick your finger and stick it in a light socket. Everybody reacts to power going through your body differently. I remember one time I was helping Kevin weld, and I was holding a big piece of steel. For whatever reason, I guess maybe I was in between the ground and him, and like the ground cable, and I was standing on a ladder holding this, and all of a sudden this shot of electricity went through me, and I'm kind of, you know, trying to hold on. And I've thought of that, and I thought, you know, every time God's power touches people, he touches them differently. And I find so many people, they look at what happens to someone else, and they either say, I don't want that, or they say, I only want that. And we have to trust that the Holy Spirit knows exactly what he's doing in your life. And he knows exactly how to blow on you. He knows exactly how to fill you. He knows exactly what gifts you need to thrive in your life and to be effective at reaching other people. And so don't get caught up in looking at what the outward appearance looks like, okay? That outward stuff, it definitely drew people. But what we look for is the fruit, the heart, the life change that happens in here when we are submitted to the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, whatever you want, whatever it looks like, whatever you want me to do, I want to serve you. I want to follow you, whatever it takes. Amen? And so I want to say that before ever talking about the rest of the stuff, like tongues and stuff, because so many times we get caught up in that, and that's not what we should be focusing on. We focus on, Holy Spirit, I want you, and I want all of you, and I want to be filled by you, and whatever it looks like, God, use me. Do what you want in me. I need you. I have really good news for you. You don't have to be a perfect salesman to tell someone about Jesus. You are not even responsible for how they respond to what you tell them. Which is good, because you'll get rejected. Our job is to tell people. God's job is to save. Jesus is the one. The Holy Spirit is the one who changes the heart. He prepares the heart. And it's our job to come and just tell the good news. Cammy, did you know what God did in my life this week? It's all our job is. To be a vessel, to be willing to be used. And the Holy Spirit does the rest in that person's heart. Which is good, because I don't know how about you, but many times I've felt inadequate to tell someone about God or my faith or anything. And the good news is that I just have to be faithful that when the Holy Spirit prompts me and says, speak up, now's the time, that I just do. And I might fumble over my words and I might say something that sounds really stupid to me, but I can trust that the Holy Spirit is at work. And it's up to him to bring the results. Did you know that? Not up to you. The commission isn't yours, it's his anyway. When you make a sale. So I want to end there today. And I want to just ask you this question. Do you think that you can experience this? Yeah. The Holy Spirit is a promise for everyone. I believe, I can't remember where I heard this this quote, and I might even be saying it wrong or remembering it wrong, but someone once said that when you get saved, when you give your heart to Jesus, the Holy Spirit is resident in you. But then we see in the Bible, there's a subsequent experience of being baptized in the Holy Spirit, being filled. And that's when the Holy Spirit becomes president in you. And there truly is something about submitting fully. We come to salvation. We have faith in Jesus, and we invite him into our life. But then there's a subsequent, and it's like this journey that we go on to completely submit and surrender our heart to him, and he fills us. And we're called to be baptized in water, right? All of us are. If you are a Christian, the Bible says you should be baptized in water. And we've talked about that before, the reasons why. But it is not just to be a party. It's this act of surrender, saying, it's also prophetic, saying that my old nature is gone. Jesus, my new nature is here, and I belong to you. The old is washed away, and the new has come. So we are called to be baptized in water. And in fact, it refers in John, John 3, I think, when Jesus is talking to Nicodemus about, you must be baptized in water and the Spirit to be saved. I might be saying that a little bit wrong, so don't yell at me that's the gist of what they talk about, that we are called to be baptized in water and the Spirit. So we are water baptized, and then we need to ask the Holy Spirit to fill us. And I really believe that God does it on his timing. We surrender and we submit and we pursue him. And if he does it instantly, awesome. If it takes a year or two or whatever, that's okay too. But he knows the right timing to come and to fill us. We okay? So I want today, because I think there's no better time than right now, to invite the Holy Spirit to come and to fill us. And the Bible talks about in Ephesians 5 about how, we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, but that again, just like the salvation experience, it shouldn't just be a one-time thing where it's like, okay, that was great. I prayed a prayer once and I'm good to go. We are called to constantly be filled over and over, and constantly communing with God, constantly walking with him. Like, we need our, how often does it say in the Lord's Prayer? We need our daily bread. And we need to commune with the Holy Spirit every day. We need to talk to him. We need to be filled. It's the only way that I can keep from getting angry at somebody when they do something. It's the only way that I can keep my walking in the Christian walk that I've been called to. It's the only way that I can make a difference is by leaning on him. My strength only goes so far. I don't know about you. But when I haven't spent time with God, I'm very, very different in a lot of ways than when I have. Have you ever noticed, if you've struggled for a week or two or three or whatever it might have been, where you just have not spent a lot of time with God, you haven't spent time in the Word, you haven't spent some time worshiping him, and how your attitude changes, how your mindset changes, how you begin to think differently? Because again, when we spend time with God, he transforms us. He changes us. The Holy Spirit works in us when we let him. But when we say, no, you go over here for now, I got my own problems to deal with, I'm going to look at this mountain in front of me and try and conquer it myself. And then what happens? We get in a mess. And we try and do it in our own strength, and we can only go so far. So I want to invite you to, with me, invite the Holy Spirit to come into our lives today. I don't know, Angela, if you have any kind of music back there still that you could just play softly. But we see in the Bible that the Holy Spirit is a gift for everyone who believes in Jesus. Everybody. So if you believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit is available to you today, right now, right here. And he is faithful, and he is good, and there is literally nothing better than experiencing his presence, and his love, and his power, and his peace, and his joy. And there's some things that can be taught. There's some things that have to just be caught. And just experiencing God's touch on you, I can talk about it. I can tell you till I'm blue in the face that it's good. But when you experience it, it's a whole level of different. And so I just, whether you've experienced him a million times or never before, I want to take this moment to just invite the Holy Spirit to come and to fill us and to fill you and to empower you, to equip you, to do the works of Jesus, to go and make disciples, to be on fire for him. Amen? So if you would like that, I would just invite you just to take your hands out in front of you like you're going to receive a gift. You're going to receive from him, because you are. And Holy Spirit, we want to come to you. And Jesus, And I want you to just take a moment to get your heart right with God. Just like you're preparing for communion. Jesus, I ask that you'd examine our hearts. Lord, if there's anything at all in our hearts, any sin, any rebellion, any attitude, anything, Lord, that doesn't belong there. And I ask, Lord, I repent. And so I just want you to take a few moments and whatever the Holy Spirit brings up. Holy Spirit, we give you permission to remind us of anything in our life that needs dealt with. And we want to give it to you today because we want to be fully submitted and fully surrendered to you. So I'm not going to rush this, but we'll just give you about a minute and just pray. Just talk to God. Is there anything there? Thank you, Jesus. It's really important, especially if we've had any ties with any kind of witchcraft, any kind of stuff like even Ouija boards, any kind of magic, all that kind of stuff. Because when we're involved with that stuff, it's basically you are submitting your heart, your life to the evil one, to the evil side in that sense. And if you belong to Jesus, you need to be fully submitted and surrendered to him. And so even if you've dabbled with that stuff, just repent of it. There's many different, and depending on our background, there's many different rituals or things that we've been led in that really aren't godly. And so just let the Holy Spirit lead you if there's anything. And simply this is what we do. If you're not sure even how to pray, just say, Jesus, I am sorry for my involvement with, you fill in the blank. I am sorry, Jesus, for my sin. I'm sorry for the wrong things that I've done. I'm sorry, and again, bitterness, anger, rage, whatever it might be, we got to get rid of it. So Jesus, I'm sorry for my shortcomings. I'm sorry. And name it. Just name what it is. I'm sorry I yelled at my wife. I'm sorry I yelled at my kids. I'm sorry that I cheated, whatever. Whatever it might be. So Jesus, we are sorry for our sin. And we give it all to you. We literally lay it at your feet. And I'm thankful, Jesus, that you tell us that if we confess our sin, that you're faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So Jesus, I thank you. And Lord, I am sorry for all the wrong I've done. And I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to cleanse me and to set me free from all guilt and all shame and all condemnation from that sin as I give it to you. And I ask that you to remove it all from my life. And now we just say, Holy Spirit, would you just say this with me? Holy Spirit, I invite you to come and to fill me and to fill me again and fill me again. Holy Spirit, I invite you to burn in me. I'm asking for everything that you have available to me as your child. Would you blow on me today? Fill me with your gifts. Fill me with your power, with your boldness to go and make disciples, make a difference in this world for your kingdom, to live rightly as your son or your daughter, whoever you are. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. We trust in you. We trust in you. Holy Spirit, burn in me. I want to be set apart for you. Fill me with your fire. When darkness tries to roll over my bones, just let him speak to you. Is all I know. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to fill us, to empower us, to equip us. God, we don't want to be the same. Holy Spirit, I ask for boldness and I ask for courage for all of us to be a witness for you, to be a light for you. Pray, Holy Spirit, that we would have no fear of what other people think. And I ask, Holy Spirit, for your gifts. God, they're not a status symbol. They are tools that you give us to be effective in your kingdom. So, Holy Spirit, I pray that we would not have any fear or any worry or doubt or anxiety about your gifts or about what you want to do in us. But, Holy Spirit, we welcome you to come. We welcome you, God, to equip us. Help us, God, to have boldness to reach out. Help us to have boldness to walk the Christian walk that you're calling us to. We submit ourselves to you. Blow and move and burn in us the way that you want to. Lord, I ask for dreams. I ask for visions. I ask, God, that you would give us ears to hear your voice. I pray that we would understand what you're saying and doing in our lives personally. I pray for that as a church, Holy Spirit, that we would be wide open to you and what you want to do. That we would not try and put you in a box, that we would not try and control you, manipulate you. Holy Spirit, we want you. Jesus. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do all week. Every time you think of it, even if you're at work, out for a walk, cooking supper, whatever it might be, every time you think of it, Holy Spirit, please fill me. Holy Spirit, please fill me today. You can even write it on your fridge or whatever works for you. Put it in your alarm that every time you wake up in the morning, first thing you see is write it on your mirror if you have to, whatever. Holy Spirit, please fill me. Holy Spirit, have your way in me. See, what happened here was that there were people who were submitted, surrendered, and just hungry for God. And that is what will be an open, wide door, a runway for the Holy Spirit to land in our lives. When we worship Him, when we pray, when we seek His face, He comes and moves, and He changes us. I really think that we don't have to stress about trying to be perfect or trying to be something that we're not. The Holy Spirit comes in here and does all the work. We just have to open the door. And don't stress about what it might look like or how it might happen. Just say, Holy Spirit, I want you. I want you. I want the real you. I want to live the real Christian walk that I've been called to. I don't want anything religious. I don't want anything fake. I want you. And it's going to look different in you than it's going to look in me. And we have to be okay with that. We just want the real Him, the fruit in our hearts and in our lives. Amen? I'm going to close. Anybody have anything you want to share? Anything on your heart?